Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everyone. I think my duty today is to provide a bit of a backdrop to some of the more focused discussions we're having on the new planning architecture, the new commissioning architecture in England. And I think if there is one takeaway message from me, it is that if we are talking about the future nursing workforce, the shape of the future nursing workforce, if we are talking 5 or 10 years from now, we are actually talking mainly about those who currently are in the workforce and how they might need to be retrained or redeployed. It's not just about the new cohorts coming in from graduate education. We're looking at a challenge in terms of making the best use of the skills and making sure there is good motivation of the current nursing workforce also. In terms of a structure to my presentation, I'll really start with as near as facts you can get, and as I go down my presentation, it becomes more of an opinion rather than facts. I made a New Year's resolution that I was going to try and stop discerning the truth by looking at NHS workforce statistics, but I find myself yet again in a conference trying to do just that. So I'll start looking at trends in supply, a little on numbers and the recent debate about is the workforce in the NHS growing or declining, and look at future supply and finish more about my own views on current policy responses and realities. In terms of the applications, current supply to nurse education in the UK, that's a graph over the last 10 years or so. The four UK countries in different colours, don't need to dwell on it at any length. What it is clearly showing is that nursing is very attractive as a possible career. Year on year over the last 10 years, there have been more and more people applying for career registration nurse education. There is not, in terms of numbers, a supply side problem at the moment in terms of new supply. Second point, when we begin to look at how many places are actually being commissioned, so this is what funding is being made available to meet that new supply in providing training places. This is SHAs in England over the last 3 years. A year-on-year decline, generally speaking, across all of the SHAs. And we've heard earlier today assumptions, projections, discussions that the funding available may decline further. So there is, at the most basic level, clearly a bit of a mismatch going on. Taking another kind of look backwards in order to look forwards, this is the NHS qualified nursing workforce in England, its growth over the period between 2000 and 2010 as full-time equivalents. We did see significant growth in the workforce, mainly in the first half of last decade. It was already beginning to tail off before the end of the last decade. If I'd put that graph up and matched it against doctors, managers, healthcare assistants, allied health professions, those groups have all experienced much more significant percentage growth than have qualified nurses. So there has been growth, but in terms of relative to other groups in the NHS, it's not been at the top of the league table. Second point, just looking internationally, we've, in many ways, become a bit obsessed about this growth and is it sustainable? Was it realistic? Should it have been at that level? Put it in international context, if you look at other OECD countries across this period, the UK reported growth in the broader nursing workforce is at about the OECD average across that 10-year period. So we've seen growth, but it's not been out of kilter to the case in many other developed countries. getting a bit more narrow and detailed on the last couple of years. This is a graph showing the position since September 2009 on a quarterly basis of the numbers of qualified nurses in the NHS workforce in England, up to the most recent available, which is October last year. You're probably aware there's been a bit of debate and discussion between department, RCN, ministers, Peter Carter. Is the nursing workforce growing? Is it declining? What's really going on out there? And in terms of just that very top headline figure, it clearly fluctuates a bit across the year. And I think that is in part because usually in the September to December quarter, we get new nurses coming out of education, coming into the workforce. You see a bit of a spike upwards in that quarter. But my sense of what we're seeing there is overall beginning of a decline in the overall numbers. Now, I don't want to get obsessed by numbers. I don't want to spend the morning on a numbers game. Clearly, what's really important isn't whether we've got less or more than 10 years ago. The question is, have we got sufficient and enough to deliver safe care? And is the funding there to make that happen? But as a backdrop, my key message here in terms of numbers is I think we have reached a cusp of growth and we're probably looking at decline. But the decision on if there is a decline is in the hands of policymakers, planners, and the people in the room. It will not happen by accident. It will happen because decisions have been made. Another graph looking at what's happening recently, the joiners and leavers to the NHS nursing workforce in England. The black column per quarter is nurses coming into the NHS. The grey column is nurses who have been leaving. Again, you can interpret this various ways, but my sense is if you look at the last two or three quarters, it could be that we are seeing, again, the reason why numbers are beginning to reduce. More nurses are leaving than are coming in to the workforce. Again, that's the most recent data available at the moment. Okay, those are some headline points as regards the nursing labour market. These, I think, are the broader important issues to bear in mind as we begin to look forward, developing new workforce planning arrangements in England, looking at the labour market, what has been going on. We have seen increased applications to nursing year on year. In recent years, that probably is partially a reflection of recession and an absence of alternative opportunities for some applicants. But even taking that into account, we have, as I said, seen very significant growth. Decreased new supply from training, however, beginning to come through as we see the commissions I showed you, the drop in commissions that will mean fewer new nurses coming into the workforce. But overall supply of nursing hours is higher than it was in previous years. Nurses who are in work are looking to work longer hours, are looking to work agency hours, are delaying retirement, are delaying going to part-time work because of the broader recession, broader labour market issues. So we are, in a sense, still getting the benefit of a recession dividend in the short term, which is there are more nursing hours out there if the NHS and other employers wish to use them. Reduced turnover, lower job moves because of the issues I've already highlighted. That can be quite beneficial in some care environments if you end up with a more stable workforce. Workers, nurses and others who are there for a longer period work together well as a team. But it also reflects pent-up career frustration if there are not career development opportunities to move on to. So there is a pro and a con to that particular indicator. Retention is increasing. I would argue it's not increasing because all the employers in the NHS and elsewhere in healthcare have suddenly got better at being employers. It's much more a reflection on the external labour market being more problematic in terms of looking for job moves. And irrespective of what types of employment policy planning arrangements we arrive at in England, there is something that planners and policymakers cannot stop happening, and that is the ageing of the nursing workforce. Something that has been talked about for probably 10 years now, but we are now reaching a point in time where increasing cohorts will be getting into the age where they might retire or think about retiring. And that is going to be particularly pronounced in NHS community nursing, which is the very area that we are talking about is the one that needs the growth, the increase in workforce to deliver more primary care. So there is a looming challenge which is there irrespective of what the planning architecture looks like. And the test of the new planning architecture will be, can it deal with that effectively? I'm going to move on now to look forward, and I've just got a couple of slides. This is related to some work I did last year with colleagues for the RCN. And what we did was take a look forward, the period 2011 to 2022, using the best available data and looking at historical patterns of high levels of immigration, low levels of immigration, high levels of new supply from nurse education, low levels of new supply from nurse education. And we came up with these different scenarios to look at how that was going to pan out over this period when so many more nurses are going to be in potential retirement age. And I'm not going to dwell on this at length, but these are the lines of the graphs for each of the different scenarios. And without getting into detail, for most of them, the indication is that there would be a reduction in the supply of nurses in the NHS. And in doing the modelling and looking at the assumptions, the worst case scenarios we looked at was continuation of very low levels of immigration, which is the case now, and a continuation of reductions in new intakes to pre-registration of the level that occurred in the early 1990s. And if those of you who were around at that time, you'll probably recall that early mid-90s, we had significant reductions in intakes. Late 1990s, we had nursing shortages. So there is a range there. And the key point here is that it is up to the people that fund, plan, commission, manage, employ, register, regulate nurses to decide which of those lines they want. Because it's not going to happen by accident. It will be a reflection on the basket of policies, the available funding. Putting that with the trend over the last 10 years, and what we see is the first half of the graph is what actually happened up to 2010. The second part, blue would be best case, dotted red is worst case. There's a significant gap there. And the point I'm making is where that line actually finishes across that gap will be down to policymaking decision. Okay, that was really me trying to just set the scene and make what I think is a very critical point is that we are on the cusp, probably, of a reduction in the number of nurses working in the NHS, unless some of the recent trends that are beginning to occur switch another way, or we go back into, as Peter Carter said, high-level international recruitment. Big decisions to be made. This is the backdrop against which new planning architecture, decisions around funding have to be made. I've just got a couple of final slides, and really, as I said, I've moved beyond hard data to scenario planning to my own views. The first slide really is my take on what's happening at the moment or what's likely to happen in the near future in terms of policy responses. And a for UK audience, So for country UK audience, really I am talking about England here because the broader health policy direction is very different in the other countries. So in terms of the broader restructuring of the NHS in England, we are seeing a move towards a mixed economy of providers that is going to have various types of labour market impact. And I think we're also beginning to see some new models of employment. There's been a lot of talk around social enterprise models, but I think we'll also be seeing more use of third-party providers and more nurses employed by those. So the old certainties or the old predictable realities of a job for life in the NHS, a career structure for life in the NHS, probably are, at least around the edges, beginning to erode. We've got the actual restructuring of planning and commissioning. I'm not going to spend any time on this because, as we heard earlier today, some of the specificity has still to be worked out. It's reasonably clear the line of direction, but a lot of the detail is remaining to be completed. I mean, I think what I can say with certainty is that there will be new acronyms to learn. Some of them are there. There probably will be others that come through. What I think is the most important area of policy response is the response to the containment of costs in the NHS, and the need to look at improving productivity, not just of nurses, but of the complete NHS workforce. Heard already this morning from some of the other speakers about issues around looking at improving attrition rates. There's going to be a lot of emphasis on reduction in absence rates, new working patterns that can match more effectively with predicted workloads using some of the tools that we were presented earlier on. Questions around time allocation. I think one of the key areas that policymakers are interested in is reducing the amount of time that nurses spend on unproductive time or non-caring time, which is defined differently in different studies, but looking to try and ensure that they are enabled and supported to be doing what they're trained to do at the highest level of what they're trained to do. I also think we're going to see more core periphery, and this is the issues around more flexible use, different types of contract for some workers in trusts, in order to enable trusts to flex over time their workforce depending on which contracts they went to provide care. And skill mix changes is going to be significant on the agenda in many places. Now, the other point I really want to make with all of this is that none of this is actually new. What I think it is going to happen is it's going to become more intensified and hopefully better managed than it has been in the past. And finally, just another one to throw in the pot, the review body has been asked to report back by July this year with recommendations, proposals on, I think the phrase is local or regional facing pay for nurses and allied health professions. This potentially, if it was to go through with any real local pay at the end of it, has phenomenal labour market implications in terms of how employers respond locally, what it means for career structures nationally. We don't know how it's going to go yet, but it's potentially a significant element and driver of change. Final slide. What do I think the reality is? I think security of supply remains an issue. There's a real risk policy attention is going to go only on demand, only on productivity. We have coming a problem with fewer nurses unless we do something about it, would be my take at the current moment in time. Cost containment is going to drive everything that's happening. So it's going to be quality of care and patient safety kept at a reasonable level, but the drive is going to be getting more out of the workforce, and that's smarter or harder working, as the old cliche goes. I think there's a good likelihood that 10 years from now, there could be fewer overall registered and graduate nurses in the workforce than there is now, managing teams, many more assistant practitioners in the workforce, many more healthcare assistants in the workforce. two final questions. I said right at the beginning that much of the focus now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, is adapting the current workforce, reskilling it, retooling it, providing it with additional expertise. That means funding for in-service, continuing professional development, post-registration education. And I think there's a real risk that that is where, when there is funding constraints, we're going to see real hits. So there's a risk that the direction of policy travel and the direction of funding for education is not going to be well aligned. And my final point was, I think we need to get debating what are the costs and benefits of local pay. And I mean costs and benefits in the widest sense. What will it mean for patient care? What will it mean for nursing motivation, retention, as well as short term? What can it mean for the Treasury in terms of saving money? Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.